This morning's scripture comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew. It's a familiar story that all of us have heard before, but I ask you to listen to it today with new ears. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my house, my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. And this is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we ask you today to open our ears to hear and our hearts to feel what it is that you have for us to hear. Help us to be your people and help us to lean in on the idea that Christ is the Messiah, the one who came to save us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture this morning is one that we can easily visualize in our minds. Jesus and his disciples are out on the road doing the work of evangelism. They're making their way to Caesarea Philippi, which was a bustling first century port city in Galilee. The disciples have seen Jesus perform miracles. They've heard him teach. They've had experiences with him, both as a mentor and a friend. And as they walk with Jesus, he poses this question to the 12 men. Jesus simply asks them, while they're out in the world, "What is it that you hear people saying about me? Who do people say the Son of Man is?" The Son of Man being the reference that Jesus called himself. The disciples would have understood that he was asking, "Who do people say I am?" They easily responded by telling him that many people are saying all kinds of things about him, as people tend to do. Some people said that he was the reincarnated John the Baptist, who had recently been beheaded by Herod. Others said that he was the prophet Elijah, come alive again, based on the Jewish belief that Elijah would return before the end of times. The apostles added, "Still others believed you to be the prophet Jeremiah, another one of Israel's prophets, who had his own tensions with the authorities and suffered mightily for it." It seemed that Jesus' followers had varied understandings of whom or what they were witnessing. They had never seen something or someone like him before. But then in a clever and, I think, intentional way, Jesus turns the question towards his disciples, the 12 people who knew him the best. And Jesus asked, "But who do you say that I am?" And thankfully, they got it right. Historically, it seems that scripture tells us that the disciples rarely got the answer right to Jesus' questions. So we need to pay special attention to this time when they do get it right. Peter's the first to speak up, saying, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And because of Peter's answer, Jesus proceeds to bless him by saying, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." I find it interesting that both the Gospels of Mark and Luke tell a version of this same story, but it's only the Gospel of Matthew that tells of Jesus extending a blessing on Peter and talking about the future of the church. Jesus knows that he will soon be leaving this world and needed this group to carry on his mission and ministry in the world. Now, it may surprise you to know that Jesus does not talk very much about the church in the Gospels. In fact, out of all four of the Gospels, Matthew is the only one that even mentions the church. But within today's scripture and the rest of Matthew's Gospel, it seems that Jesus is already getting ready in his mind the early church. The apostles are to be the founders of the ecclesia, the ones that are called out. They are to be instructed in what they are to do and how they are to live in community together. They are to know how they are to put the ideals that they have learned from Jesus into practice. And we know, as members of Christ's body, that which the apostles may have known at first, that it's very difficult sometimes to practice the teachings of Jesus. And so in this morning's passage of Scripture, we find the first time Jesus mentioning the church. Many scholars believe this question about who Jesus is was not just a question that Jesus posed to the disciples to determine their level of understanding, but also to see as a way for Jesus to begin the disciples thinking about what their ministry might look like when he was no longer with them. He began to prepare them for how ministry would continue after he was gone. Many believe the questions posed to the disciples is the foundational statement of faith that began the Christian church. And so I propose that maybe we should too pose this question to the church today. Who do we say Jesus is? Paul Tillich, one of the most influential theologians of the 21st century, taught that it was at that moment of declaration that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God, that Christianity actually began. Not at the cross, not at the empty tomb, not even when Mary met the risen Christ on Resurrection Sunday. Rather, Tillich declares that in this particular moment, when the disciples were faced for the first time with the question of who Jesus was, it was their declaration that he was the long-awaited Messiah, the Son of the living God, that began the Christian church. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the great German pastor and theologian who wrote around the same time as Tillich, also saw this moment in Scripture as a crucial turning point. While sitting in the darkness of a prison cell during the reign of Hitler in Nazi Germany, Bonhoeffer determined the same question was the central question for the church in his time and would be for every generation to come. "Who is Jesus Christ for us today?" he asked, adding urgency to the question. So I take up the question and ask you, who do we say Jesus is for us today? In other words, what does our faith in Jesus and the call to follow Jesus look like for us in this moment in history? As we live through COVID-19, racial tensions, political unrest, a world that seems to be spinning out of control, what does our declaration of Jesus as the Christ demand of each of us? We recognize that while the call to follow Jesus has not changed from the day Peter declared him the Messiah, but we must acknowledge just what this means, what it looks like for us today. What worked in the past may not necessarily work in the present, or where we feel called to go, do, and be now may be different from where we once were called. For Bonhoeffer, for instance, following Christ and being part of the Christian church before the war looked a lot different than after the war. And so it's important for us to see this not simply as a question asked to Peter once and for all. Rather, the question of who Jesus is should be continually asked and answered together as a church universal, as a specific body of believers, and as individual believers. We must admit that how we answer this question matters. In fact, this is an important part of Jesus' blessing to Peter and to all of us. Know that what we do and what we are as the church does matter. According to this morning's scripture, the church holds the keys to the kingdom, which is meant to say that the church now has the authority to discern the will of God and to act on it. Tom Long, a professor at Emory University, puts it this way. The point here is that what the church does, the decisions it makes, the graces it expresses, the stands it takes, the truth it teaches matter to God. When the church wrestles with a controversial issue, tries to speak the gospel to one who is alienated from God, provides hospitality to a stranger, teaches the faith to a child, or cares for those in need, it is not just playing church, it's acting out God's future, the kingdom of heaven, in the present, and thereby participating in the very life of God. Wherever we do these things, he writes, it's not just the church that acts. It's God who acts through the church. You see, Peter was one of those, was onto something when he said to Jesus, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." I think he knew what the church had tended to forget at times, which is God is a living God. God's not frozen in the past, not bound by the words of Scripture or the traditions of the church, memories of the good old days or the way things used to be. God is still alive, still moving, still working in the world in ways that are new and guaranteed to be unsettling. And as a church, we are the ones given the great responsibility to discern just how God is living and moving and working. We still have the power. We still have the power to be voices of grace and mercy and love, voices of reconciliation and forgiveness, of justice, of compassion, and of wholeness. We still have this responsibility. We may not always feel like we do. There are plenty of voices both outside and inside the church that would have us believe that the church does not matter anymore, that we lost our credibility and authority. And in some ways, this might be true mostly because of our own doing. But it may be that we have lost this position of prominence in society because we have lost the focus on who God is and what he can do. We need to get back to basics and focus once more again on the only question that really matters for the church and that has ever mattered, which is, who is Jesus Christ for us today? Where is he calling us to be, and to whom? What does it mean to be followers of Christ in this season, in this place, in this moment? What we have done and will soon do and will continue to do as a church matters. Maybe we've grown a little too short-sighted. Maybe we've been focused solely on what it means to be a local church at DCC for our members, our relationships, our finances. But the idea of being followers of Christ is way bigger than that. We all have a role to play in God's kingdom. We need to be prepared to serve and to be committed to the whole. And all it takes is everything. It takes our bodies and our souls. As the Apostle Paul writes in the book of Romans, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." There are a couple important things I want you to note here. First, your body is needed. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Jesus wants your body. He doesn't just want our thinking and our minds, but he also wants our doings and our actions. Our commitment to Christ comes out as his hands and feet, as well as our thoughts and our words. We are to live sacrificially each day, a gift given away, where life isn't about what we get out of it. It isn't about what makes us feel good. Yet feeling good often accompanies the service. Secondly, in the doing and being God's hands and feet, we are inevitably changed. We are always on the journey of being changed. Something is going to change us, either the world or Christ. Why not choose to be changed by faith? Faith here means being redefined as we emulate the one we follow. And we are once again reminded of the question for this morning's gospel text from Matthew posed by Jesus himself, which is truly the question of utmost importance. Who do you say I am? Just like the first time Jesus posed this question to his disciples, today and every day as Christ followers, we are asked to declare to the world who Jesus really is for us, individually and as a church. Do we affirm the identity of Jesus as Lord and Messiah, the Son of the living God? Do we declare, like Peter, that Jesus is the one who connects, who brings together human need and divine presence? That Jesus is the one who reconciles, who puts us in our brokenness back in touch with God's wholeness? When we identify with Christ as Lord, then our identity is likewise transformed. We are not just individual followers, but we have been called into a new community of faith under the Lordship of Christ. We are different because of the claim that Jesus is Lord. Our identity is wrapped up in the person of Christ. And as Christ followers, we are identified as belonging to Christ when we are willing to be foundational, when we are willing to be built upon. Christ is the builder, and we are the material. We are the ones who give shape, like the foundation gives shape to the building that is the church. And as the mission and ministry of Christ is laid upon us, we are given a promise. The gates of Hades will not prevail against it. In being the church, in being the community of which we are foundational, the body of Christ, the church, all things are possible. All things have a lifespan, we have come to believe. Institutions, lifestyles, civilizations rise and fall. But the church will survive into eternity. That is the promise. That means we can be bold and we can seek to give shape to the church. We can take risks because it cannot be killed. Why should we fear failure when Christ tells us that the church will endure? And the keys to the kingdom that were handed to Peter and that is now ours is the knowledge of who Christ is. Our task then is to teach this knowledge of who Christ is to the world. We are called to inform and share, to teach that Jesus is the answer to our prayers, the desires of our hearts, and the fulfillment of all of our needs. We are called to share the identity of Christ with the world so that they too can become part of the called out community known as the church. We welcome, we invite, we encourage, we instruct. Evangelism begins with conversation and more so with listening. And we must show them who Christ is in our own lives. Jesus said to the disciples, "Don't tell anyone I am the Messiah, but perhaps he meant we are to show them that he is the Messiah." People no longer want to know what we believe. They want to know how we live. And so I ask, does our belief in Jesus make any difference to us besides how we spend some time on Sunday morning? In other words, Jesus wants us to show and then tell. He wants us to be a community at work in the world and then respond to the inevitable questions of how we love and why we love the gospel of Christ. This morning, we can't do a typical altar call where people are invited forward to claim Jesus as their Savior, to offer themselves as living sacrifices to God. And while the physical act of moving forward often gets our brains and our hearts engaged in what we are doing, I believe today we still can turn to God in prayer. So today I invite you to pray with me if you wish to claim Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as the Son of the living God. Likewise, if you've already affirmed your faith long ago, I encourage you to renew that faith with me today and reinvigorate your living relationship with the one who still calls us to follow. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you this day that you gave us Jesus to be our Lord and our Savior and our Messiah. For those who have heard the message the first time today, we ask them that they open their hearts to receive you in that capacity. For those of us who have known you for a long time, we ask you to reinvigorate the relationship we have with you. Help us to step out of our comfort zone and into the place where you call us, so that we truly can be your hands and feet. Help us to answer the question of who you are to us in a way that emulates you and shows our love for you to one another and others who don't know you. We thank you for the promise that your kingdom will reign forever and that your church has the boldness to step out in faith. So help us to do this today. In your name we pray. Amen.